Welcome to Spirited Straight Talk, the podcast to help you thrive with the help of spirit. I'm Deb Shepherd, psychic medium, spiritual teacher, and author. Each week, I bring new insights to help you heal from loss, connect with spirit, and turn setbacks into triumphs. So let's get started.
Hi, I'm Deb Shepherd. Welcome to Spirited Straight Talk. I am here with Dana Nieto Shepherd, my wife, and we are going to talk about something that's been sort of, you know, you may have heard out there called the Divine Feminine. And we have been really digging into that in our personal life as well as in our program called Solutions. We will definitely talk more about that. But what is the Divine Feminine? What does it mean? What does it mean for you, for men, for society, for the world? So we're going to dive into this. I'm going to say to everybody that Dana right now is the expert in this area. So some of this will be directed by her because I think you've been doing so much work around this the last couple of years that we have launched in one of our programs called The Calling, and it's for women basically because that's who our clients are, right? Are the going into the Divine Feminine to understand their goddess energy. It's a lot of fun, and you've been having some real playful time, but what is your definition of the Divine Feminine? What do you think this is about?
I'm not sure where to start with all of that.
Well, part of what happened to this, and I'm just going to bring this in, we read a book a couple of years ago called The Immortality Key, and it really sparked our interest in so many ways.
It was 4 years ago.
Yeah. Was it four years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, it was 2020?
Almost
5 years ago. It was okay. 2020 when we read this book, yeah.
And it really stirred something inside you and I, and it took us on a completely different path, which has been very beautiful, and relearning. We believe that we're remembering of who we are. So if you believe in past lifetimes, this may really resonate with you. It may feel something like, oh, this is, what's the stirring in me?
So it's funny. I think what I want to talk about is we did our first class in The Calling, taught our first class in The Calling about, 2 months ago, I think. And my guides kept me up all night, which was new for me because that doesn't happen like it does to you. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting, but I took notes. And one of the notes that I took, I just reread for this podcast. And what they said was, here in this time, we're ancient beings in this body trying to figure out how to help humanity by learning and using all of our keys, which is important, we can begin to unlock these things person by person. And what I realized was we are really just, we've been here so many times as souls, a lot of us. I'm not saying there's not new souls, because
there are.
Through you, yeah, I know that there are, but a lot of us have been here time and time again. Mm-hmm. And those of us that have are beginning to awaken or remember our past lives and where we've been before, and the fact that we as women in this lifetime, and probably many, many lifetimes as women, we've been pulled back in the societies that we've been born into.
Yeah, the patriarchy.
Well yeah, and that's a big piece of it. But in this lifetime, in this time right now, the Divine Feminine is trying to come forward and reawaken in a lot of different ways. It's not just in our program, it's across the world. Mm-hmm. And we're going to explain a little bit more deeply about what that means, but just to begin that, it is not a gender. It's not necessarily a gender. It could be let's just call it, it's a non-binary frequency.
Absolutely.
Because it can be males that are embodying their divine feminine, which we have a shaman in our group, in our circle, that is part of our program that embodies divine feminine beautifully. But he is a man.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He is a married man. He's been married to a woman for
almost 30 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he knows that this feminine energy is here to change the world. Mm-hmm. And so this is really what this is about. It is bringing out that frequency of unconditional love. And so there are many programs out there, but in ours in particular, we know that we are part of creation. And what we're creating, what's happening is we are remembering different pieces of our society, different groups of women. We are remembering this energy, and it's waking up inside of all of us.
I'm getting chills. And part of this is understanding, which I wanted to bring up, is the yin and the yang. Mm-hmm. You know, the black and white's all about balance. Mm-hmm. And the feminine is the black. Mm-hmm. It is how we receive in the womb and we create. Yeah. And so when that is taken away, or we're not able to be expressive or be in places of leadership, mm-hmm. it doesn't create a balance in our universe.
Right.
Our planet is unbalanced if it's only divinely guided with patriarchy belief systems.
And the vision that I just get is a wobbly earth.
Yes.
Like a earth spinning on its axis, like, but really wobbly. Anyway, this energy is about creation, intuition, emotion, the cycles of nature, rebirth, all the things that are present that we don't really recognize. Mm-hmm. And it's bringing all that back to life. And so in the calling, we dive into that, the wheel of the year, the moon cycles, all of those things. And the calling is the evolution of your program called The Solution. And so women, it is for women. We are 100% for the woman in our program because we are learning, you and I, but you are teaching people how to empower themselves. Mm-hmm. And this
voice,
program
be
in particular.
Seen,
this program in particular. And so the calling as the students go through their evolution with the Solution program and they get to that third level, the calling then is how we as divine feminine, as women who are empowering ourselves in learning and waking up, mm-hmm. how we then take it to that next level and become of service.
Right.
To other women, to our communities. And so it's like a grassroots change effort.
Right.
You know, it's the only way I can explain it, but we're growing it from organically from the beginning on women learning how to empower themselves, have their voice, and they change dramatically in your program. They change in ways that, you know, I mean, they're just different people.
I think they're the original people that they came.
There you go. Thank you.
You know, they went back and said, wait a minute, this is who I've been, but I buried it.
Yep.
And so they have permission to now be who they originally were, their authentic mm-hmm. self.
Reconnect with their soul.
Because society has this, our culture has a way of wanting us to go into our ego and program ourselves to be what society expects versus what our authentic self is.
Yeah.
And we're beautiful souls to begin with. We don't need to change it. We just need to expand it.
Right. When we read the Immortality Key, which is basically a history book, mm-hmm. and Brian is his name, the author, Brian Marescu, hopefully I'm saying that right, but he went into the Vatican, he went into ancient Greece, he went into the archives in many different countries, and he did the research. And we know throughout history anyway, the history of women, we've been suppressed, stories have been told that in some cases are not true. We've been burned, we've been hung, we've had all these things happen. And knowing what I know from when you do past life readings, even for clients, and what I felt in my own past lives that I've seen, and I even saw you in a past mm-hmm. life doing your work. But we know that this has happened to us, and we've buried these things, and we've forgotten. Mm-hmm. And so, and this is across multiple cultures. So that book just opened our eyes to not only the fact that women were in spiritual power in the very beginning, mm-hmm. and they were revered and followed, and they were the ones who were serving the divine, mm-hmm. yeah, the divine teachers, mm-hmm. plant teachers, and they were the ones serving those communities.
It's all related to fear.
It is.
It's all related to fear. And as you're talking, it just, I can feel the chills, like, oh, I remember this. And every time we talk about it, I have the same emotion. Mm-hmm. And if we think about the planet that we're on, we call it Mother Earth, mm-hmm. the feminine. Mm-hmm. And so it's, we don't honor Mother Earth many times. Mm-hmm. So how the feminine has been portrayed and the power taken away from her.
Yeah.
And what it's done.
Yep. And so the rise of the patriarchal systems that were brought into play, the immortality key talks a lot about that. Mm-hmm. It was portrayed in a way that softness was weak.
Right.
And now we as women, we're expected throughout society to become harder and to be, you know, if we want a place in corporate America, we better act like men, mm-hmm. and wear the shoulder pads up to our ears.
I remember wearing that black, breaking the glass ceiling and all those things that I was told.
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, you talk about this all the time, but we were forced to conform to that, mm-hmm. in order to show up. And do what we needed to do within this society, the way it was built.
We even think about the following of hashtag Me Too, or women finally having the way that they were controlled by sex if they weren't able to get the job or the opportunity.
Yeah,
I mean, how that was used against women as well.
Right. And ultimately, it's not about men versus women. No. I think there was times for that where it was created, but it's just how we've been programmed over, you know, hundreds of years now.
Right.
And now we're undoing that as divine feminine. We have to start to unravel those cords. Mm-hmm. And so how do we do that? We have to bring awareness to it. We have to, there's a path that we're taking,
and I think
to start to change this.
What people may think is we're suppressing men, but it's not about suppression of any of the male or female.
Oh, God, no.
It's really about...
We've had enough of that.
Yeah, it's about balancing both,
uh-huh.
bringing it to a balance of equality, meaning... We need the sun and the moon. We need the balance of light and dark. We need all of the balance within our world, mm-hmm. our solar system, our universe, your belief right. system. And so because if it's out of balance, I think this is where we get a lot more wars, or we get a lot more mm-hmm. Taking down situations of cultures or belief systems because of that patriarchy kind of energy that, mm-hmm. you know, with the yin and the yang.
So, yep, I think there's a couple of things that come to mind when we talk about this is in our society, we're so disconnected not only from each other, but disconnected from ourselves, disconnected from our body. You know, students in your program, The Solution, talk all the time about how they feel so disconnected, even from themselves. Like, I remember one student mm-hmm. in particular, actually several students in particular, saying, I don't feel anything from the neck down, because we are suppressing everything. And what you're doing and what we're doing is we're bringing that back. We're bringing the emotion back. We're trying to connect our emotions back to our body. And we're trying to feel again. Mm-hmm. And which is heightening our intuition. It's bringing our intuition back.
Our creativity.
Creativity, yes. It's. But what we're doing on top of that is a lot of the things that were suppressed are ceremonial things, mm-hmm. where we're connecting to Mother Earth. We're connecting to the cycles and the wheel of the year, I'll call it, with all the seasons that are attached. We're so out of tune with everything.
We are.
That, you know, how do we move forward? This is the chaos that comes from us being so disconnected.
think we have a world too that says this is what happiness looks like. There's, and I love technology in the sense that what it does for us, but at the same time, I think we turn to it for guidance and awareness more than tuning into our intuition,
mm-hmm.
finding that intuitive side of ourselves that say, what am I supposed to do? How do I align myself for joy and happiness? What am I feeling?
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking a lot about that, how the ego and things like that have affected the way we use our intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And so the divine feminine is allowing us to feel and be sensitive again, mm-hmm. and not wear the shoulder pads and be these warriors, mm-hmm. that it's okay to be that soft side.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Even the men.
Absolutely.
I mean, geez.
I want the men to absorb some feminine energy. I think they are missing out on some of those abilities to communicate. You know, our shaman is a talker, right?
Yeah.
He's able to communicate, and so many men hold back because if they show their emotion,
They're judged.
Mm-hmm. And so when women show emotion, we are judged.
Which brings up something for me in my story. So I had my son very young, and I had him with a man that was 14 years older than me. And very macho dude, you know, martial artist, super macho, controlling.
Oh, yes.
The whole thing. You know, you've met him.
As he leans on top of you, almost like
he's a big dude.
Yeah.
He's a big dude. And I remember him always telling me how Thomas was soft. You're raising him to be soft. You know, even recently, you know, being told that, you know, I raised him. Why can't he stand up like a man? And, you know, all those stereotypes, right? And here I am going, I like that he's that way. He has a sensitive side.
Look what he said about his daughter the other day.
Yeah, you can share that. Yeah.
So we have some grandchildren, and one of them is five.
Mm-hmm.
And she is just smarter than they come.
My gosh,
sharpest little mind. And we had bought her those pens that you can write on your body, mm-hmm. you know, to make mm-hmm. like body art. And she's a great little artist, and so she's drawing on my leg and your leg and back and forth.
Cherries on my thigh.
Mine's a butterfly. Definitely six legs. But the next day when her dad came to pick her up, Thomas, I said, Thomas, I think she's a future tattoo artist. And he has a few tattoos, and he leaned into it and said, great, Talia, you can do my tattoos. You can finish the rest of my tattoos. You can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's him leaning into supporting the feminine side. He was nurturing. He wasn't, well, you need to be da da da. She's smart. She mm-hmm. could be an astronaut, a doctor. I mean, she's one of these kids that is really into science as well.
Oh, very much.
And then he started telling me what it takes to be a really good tattoo artist mm-hmm. and how to achieve that high level of an artist. And I went, wow. So he has that feminine side uh-huh. to him. And he was able to talk to his daughter and not feel judged. And she was like, okay, daddy,
mm-hmm.
we need more of that versus, no, you can't be that.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Exactly.
Why not?
So, exactly.
And we shared it with a few of our people in our community, and there was tears. Like, I wish my father would have said that.
Yeah.
So can these men find their feminine nurturing side?
Right.
And there's a lot of single fathers out there that can be very nurturing and very kind. But when we have the other ones that, you know, we got to fight toe-to-toe, go to battle, have a war, say the last thing. What's the last word?
Right. And on the opposite side of that, we have women who live their life in a corporate environment that are now in their retirement trying to find their softer side.
Right.
Because they lost it completely. And they're like, I'm not nurturing. I'm not, you know, I'm trying to be softer. And that's where this movement's coming from is, exactly. Why not?
This is why we don't have as much empathy and compassion for others.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at even in the U.S. alone, how there's so much judgment and we don't have the empathy and compassion that I think is missing, and that's that feminine side, the mm-hmm. nurturing side.
Mm-hmm.
The let me know the whole story. How can we help them out? How can we help a person thrive?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not doing that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the bigger pieces, because there's through remembering and ceremony and really diving into the divine feminine and the calling to be of service to our communities and to other women, we really figured out what we're attached to in our, I'm going to call it our lineage or our past lives, and where this thread came from. And I know this resonates with a lot of people, because as we talk to people, they're like, oh my gosh, yes,
it's that, all of a sudden
I recognize
familiar.
It.
I feel, yeah, it feels familiar.
Yeah. And we only took a certain amount of people in this program. You know, it's very, how
intimate.
Do I say it? Intimate. Yeah. Very intimate, because you learn a lot. But this is, we figured out that this is connected, throughout history, all the way back pre Mary Magdalene. But if we even start just there, Mary Magdalene has been portrayed in history. She was alongside Jesus, but she's been portrayed in history as a prostitute. And first of all, what's wrong with that? You actually,
choice.
You teach about an archetype in your program, because we take on archetypes. So in your program, we learn that that is an archetype that sometimes we have to wear in order to not go into warrior.
Right.
We just, okay.
Just don't
we
say
show
anything,
up.
Yeah. Just smile.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not who she was. Mm. And actually the Catholic Church turned her into a saint a few years ago. But even in France and where she traveled all through Europe, there is a map of where she traveled, and there's the Rose Line. And so it's fascinating, because though that's what resonates. And the biggest teaching of that lineage is unconditional love, which is what you've been teaching for 25 years.
That is the learning unconditional love, and going back to that is the direction towards enlightenment. People want to know, what does enlightenment mean? How do you know?
Yeah.
And unconditional love is a tough one to swallow.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you give it or you receive it.
Every time you teach that class, people walk away going, I don't think I could do that.
We start digging into it more, and they're like, I don't know, I got to think about this. And it's like, yeah, I know, it's a hard one. Yeah.
And who are you going to invite to your table? Even
your teachers, your perpetrators. Like, how do you really show love and understand other people's suffering? Mm-hmm. And I think women, or the feminine, I'm going to say not women, the feminine has a tendency more to lean towards, what is your suffering?
Mm-hmm.
How do I help you through your suffering? If you look through, you know, all the history,
yeah,
you know, it was the women that came to help with the sick.
Mm-hmm.
And were there to help with compassion and empathy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's changed over time.
So Isis is also connected to the divine feminine, Kuan Yin.
Everyone loves Kuan Yin.
Kuan Yin, and we know the story of Kuan Yin. Kuan Yin was born male, and at some point transitioned and chose not to ascend so she could stay on Earth and help people that were suffering.
Isn't that amazing?
And then Durga, which is the Hindu goddess. And so it's all connected. Gaia, Mother Earth, it's all connected. So, you know, as we dig into this topic, there's so much remembrance and so much that resonates.
I think what are some of the tips to give people, male or female, how to kind of connect with their divine feminine? Because it doesn't mean that you have to be girly girl. You know, there's, mm-hmm. I think there's a misconception of what feminine looks like too.
Mm-hmm.
So any advice on that?
You tell me, Deb. I think, you know, what we're talking about in the calling is embodying this learning, this remembering, embodying that role of the priestess, embodying the role of the divine feminine. And so connecting to your body is a great way to start. Your emotions, your fears, your tears, your rage, your all of the range of emotions. I remember in a deep meditation, just kidding, it was a journey, a ceremony. I was connected with rage, and I don't know if I've ever felt that much rage coming up in me, but it was showing me this, not only is this within me, it was also showing me how so many people out there feel this rage, and we just put a lid on it, and we carry all these emotions, and we don't even realize what we're carrying. We facilitated ceremony for a couple people recently, watching them go through their process of feeling emotions they may have never felt before, or at least not since they were maybe children.
Yeah.
You know, that we put this lid on it and we don't allow ourselves to feel anything.
Well, you're told don't be a lot. That was what we heard.
We hear that a lot.
We hear that, like, I was told,
you're too much.
I'm too much. You're too much. You're just a lot.
You're so loud.
And so, you know, those emotions were told to, you're shame and guilted. You know, you can't be doing that because that's not accepted. I can't manage your
shame and guilt. So talk about shame and guilt.
Yeah.
Shame and guilt is the lowest vibration.
Shame and guilt, the lowest vibration. Yeah. Love and gratitude are the highest. And what happens is that over time, we were told, all your emotions were told to keep them tightly wound. Yep. Don't express them. Cut yourself off. Take medications, pharmaceuticals to shut that stuff down. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to be who you really want to be.
And all that is showing us control.
Yep.
Not only are they controlling us, but we are controlling ourselves in a way that's not healthy.
And we wonder why we can't expand, that we can't manifest, why we're stressed out, why we can't sleep, why we...
So being creative instead of controlling, and you have people do assignments or spiritual quests to reconnect with their creative side, because that's where it all comes from.
And it's interesting, the emotions that come up when they go to do a spiritual quest. So they didn't like the word homework, so we went to spiritual quest.
My God, are they in resistance time?
And what it is like, well, how they want to be perfect, or they don't want to do it, or they start negotiating. And all of that is because over time they were told it had to be a particular way. You were not allowed to feel you.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't go to your heart. You can't go, don't listen to your intuition. What are people going to think? It's never going to be good enough. I can't do it unless it's perfect. And so all of that got, all of that feminine energy got cut off.
Yep.
And why?
Exactly. Why?
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 And
that's the biggest question, is why are we doing that to ourselves, to our children, to society? Why?
Yeah. And you know, we want to always look at another side to it. We always look at the prism, as I always say. There's more than one view, but it's hard to get out of that view if you've been told for so long yourself, or society, or your family, or your work, or whoever, to say, this is how it has to be. You can't feel.
Yep. I think that would be the biggest thing to help people start to feel into the divine feminine, is reconnect with your emotions, reconnect with what you're feeling, instead of being numb. We walk around numb.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's reconnect. Where addictions come in. I think that's where...
We're numbing.
We're never able to go to our fullest potential. Mm-hmm. We don't know what we need. We just look at what someone else is doing, and we shut off everything except the ego, making you believe it's right. Thank you once again for joining us on Spirited Straight Talk. Obviously, this is a great topic, and we want to do more on the divine feminine. In the meantime, go to my website, debshepherd.com, and find some amazing things that can help motivate, change, and inspire you. Thank you again.